No.
Backwards. You got it in reverse.
In case you don't know, I'm a member of the Gideons. I've been at Wade for probably 20 years now. And when I joined the Gideons...
Could you go by the microphone? Go by the microphone?
Mike.
I thought I was talking loud enough. But one of the blessings of being a Gideon is meeting other Gideons. And these other Gideons, they're not from my church, they're from different denominations, but they love Jesus with all their heart. And in all gung ho to serve him and spread the gospel and do their ministry. Some even sacrifice to go overseas on their own expense even. And so it's been wonderful to me. I've learned a lot. I'm so glad that my wife talked me into becoming a Gideon, my pastor at the time also. I was kind of reluctant, and I barely got in because I had a little business of my own, actually. It was just a handyman business, but I hadn't had a paper, I had a business name, and I had all this kind of stuff, so I got in.
So they let you in.
And I thank God for it. So then, it's a real blessing. If you're given a chance to become any part of the Gideons, there's lots of opportunities, which my brother will explain, Brother Doug Grissom and his wife Sue. They're from a different camp than I'm in, but our two camps were kind of coming together because we both needed each other. We're kind of small and struggling, and so now we're kind of trying to get more on our own, as it were. But this couple, I've known them for quite some time. They're very faithful in their ministry with the Gideons. I know they'll have a lot to share. I know you've all, most of you all admit it when something came late, you didn't know them, but Brother Doug and Sister Sue.
Thank you. He drove into that dump that morning. He was so depressed. He had a revolver, bottle of vodka, and a six-pack of beer. Yeah. He was planning on ending his life. In the dump, had been covered the night before in a dusting of snow, and everything was white. And he was sitting there, drinking a little bit, and he just one red spot in the whole dump. He got out of his car, went to see what it was. Give me a New Testament, frozen open to the book of James, and he started reading it. Well, he told that story at an international convention. We've gone to an international convention, we get tagged. So you may have noticed that I was carrying this today, and you noticed, he's probably the Gideon speaker. Well, he told us that at a Gideon convention, and I forgot to tell you, he went to that dump because he'd lost his job, his kids wouldn't speak to him, his wife was ready for divorce. Mm-hmm. But at the convention, his wife was sitting in the front row. And he was speaking as a pastor.
Oh.
Not only had God turned his life around when he gave himself to Jesus, but he went ahead and completed schooling and became a pastor. And a number of years later, he got to speak at a convention and share that story with us.
Praise God. Wow.
Who are we as Gideons? We're business and professional men, members of the local churches, and we have a passion for placing Scripture in the walkways of life. Married Gideons, wives can become auxiliary members. They are so important to the ministry. and they pass out scriptures also. We get to visit churches to let you know about our perspective as a missionary arm of the body of Christ. We don't exist without support of prayer from the body. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm here today to share with you a little bit about the local camp and about the nation and around the world. And right now, we're in over 200 countries. And we publish scriptures in over 94 languages.
Praise God.
We publish scripture in China because China won't allow us to import scriptures. So people in China are putting together scriptures.
Oh.
We get to go places that the local church often doesn't get to go. How many of us are there together, Gideon's and Auxiliary, over 369,000 worldwide? And what do? Well, we are color coordinated, to be sure. Ladies, men, personal workers' testaments, Spanish, I forgot to bring the orange ones and camouflage ones, which are now for high school and junior high. And significance of this red testament is we gave these out when we were able, up until the 70s, to go into schools in the United States, which we can't do now. We have to stand on the sidewalk. And we have letters from council explaining to people, local authorities, that it's our constitutional right to stand on a public sidewalk and hand out the word of God. And we do that in a way, a buddy of mine that actually brought me into Gideon's, he showed me the real technique. Would you care for a free New Testament? It's real difficult, right? But when you're at a high school and the kids are leaving school, you know how kids are when they're leaving school. They're looking back, they don't want to leave, they're walking so slow. And you have a sleeve of 10 scriptures on your arm.
Whoa.
And as they walk by, would you care for one? No, they're running.
Yeah.
Care for Freedom Testament, care for Freedom Testament, and they're taking them. We did a distribution just recently at Round Lake Beach at the high school. And the parking lot for the high school kids, it comes out that direction and up to a street, and there's houses here, and then I think school property, and then you get into the parking lot. So I'm standing on this corner, and they're coming out and going left and right, And kids are walking, that's why I'm here, because they generally walk out on this side, so the cars can be on the other side, right side of the street. Well, young boy walks by, would you care for Freedom Testament? And I look around, he's got his head down and opened it up.
Great.
And he turns into the first gateway into the house here on the corner. And I looked around to see where he was going. What is this? I said, it's the Word of God. He goes, oh, thank you. And walked into the house. So sometimes they're not aware, but we're giving it out anyway. And I call that spiritual combat, hand-to-hand spiritual combat, because we're giving it out. Right there it is. And we share our testimony, where we witness, that's what we do. And so we do need prayer support, because locally in Antioch, boy, they don't want us there.
In Antioch.
Yeah, the school, high school there, they try to scoot us away. They'd like us across the street standing in front of the McDonald's, but that's not really where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be on the sidewalk in front of the school. That's okay. We'll go across the street because we don't want to cause a stink. We don't want to diminish the name of Jesus. and we don't announce that we're doing a distribution, we show up. We do go in and explain to the principal that we are there and offer them a New Testament to see if that's what they'd like. Well, that's what we used to do. Now we're not even allowed to offer a free New Testament inside the school grounds because somebody complained.
Jeez.
And so we just announce our presence, tell them what we're doing, go back out, and hand out scriptures. I forgot to turn on my timer, so I'm relying upon my wife.
You got the buzzer.
I had it all set up too. Well, anyway, is it important to hand out the word of God?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do blitzes. They can be international, where there may be, in a 2-week period, in Peru or the Philippines, there might be 140,000 scriptures handed out.
Right.
That will be New Testaments in the local language, and Bibles placed at places where we place Bibles. Hotels, motels, police departments, fire departments, EMTs, doctor's offices. We go everywhere. One thing I want to say about the Gideons that I think is really neat, we do it all on our own dime, as David mentioned. When people travel to another country to help out, it's quite often because that country can't afford the scriptures, one, but we go there as a privilege and we pay our own way.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the expenses for administration and operation of the Gideon organization, I pay for. Well, not just me.
You're right.
But all of our dues, David, Sue's mine, all of our dues pay for the organization.
Mm.
So that every dollar that goes to scripture distribution goes to the printing and shipping of scripture, and then we Gideons hand it out, like I said,
praise
one
God.
At a time. Mm. Spiritual warfare. We're about numbers. You know, last fiscal year we handed out 90 million, just shade over 90 million scriptures worldwide.
That's beautiful.
Now, how do we do that? We're all about numbers, as I say. Well, a buddy of mine, he, a salesman, has his own business, and boy howdy, numbers are important. So he gets the Gideons together. You go to his son's junior high school, this was a number of years ago, and they were going to do a mighty work for God. They had 10 Gideons, each with 100 Bibles. They figured they'd end up, probably 500 or 600 handed out. 16. He got them together afterwards. They met for coffee. They talked with the 3 or 4 that were there. And they said, you know what? As scripture chairman, I don't really think we ought to go there every year because, you know, that's 10 of us out there for 16. Let's do it every other year. Okay. All right. That was in end of September. So next Father's Day, he says, no, I'm not going to speak at a church like I'm doing today, because he committed to his wife that he would be home for Father's Day. You know what's happened. Saturday night, about 9:30, he gets a phone call. John, our speaker tomorrow morning is in the hospital. Every other qualified speaker is unavailable. Would you please speak tomorrow morning? Yeah. So as he, to quote John, when God wants to teach you something, it's not one service, it's three. So when you hand out scriptures, I mean, it's really a blessing to hear, would you care for a free New Testament? Nope, got some, thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. John says, well, then here, give this to someone you love.
Exactly.
And so after he speaks, three services, at the end of the service, he's standing there at the receiving line. And this lady, after the last service, now remember I said we're color coordinated, orange is junior high or high school. And this, as he says, a blue haired old lady walks up and says, thank you, Gideon. I became a Christian this year. I didn't realize I'd never committed my life to Christ.
Oh.
I just assumed it all my life. But look, and he pulls out an orange New Testament and says, I got this year, and I read it and I committed my life to Christ.
Oh.
He says, well, ma'am, we give those out to junior high school and high school people. How did you get that? My granddaughter gave it to me. Canadian gave it to her and said, please give this to someone you love.
Oh. Amen.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter if it's thrown away.
Uh-huh.
It's handed.
Come on now.
Uh-huh.
The word of God does not return void.
Amen.
A couple of things I just want to share as I end up. We do have Friends of Gideon's, and those are people that are wanting to support the ministry and know what's happening in the ministry and pray for the ministry. And that's something you could talk to David about, and I'm sure in the next couple of weeks we'll have brochures here. I have to apologize. When I came out this morning, we drove my wife's vehicle, four-wheel drive, and my car was locked, and I forgot to even bring the keys. I didn't get in there and grab my Friends of Gideon's brochures, but basically a Friend of Gideon is someone who cares for the ministry and wants to be informed of what's happening. How can you help? Prayer. You're a praying congregation. We appreciate that. We'd like to be added to that occasionally. We pray for our pastors and our congregations. We get together every Saturday morning, and that's when we get our time of prayer. We also have Gideon Card, which are a number of cards to remember and give memorial Bibles for people, thinking of you for achievements of family and friends. And then something new, since we can't get into a lot of kids because there are no sidewalks on a lot of the schools, we have a life book. And this is something that churches can order and give to their youth, and the youth can pass it out.
Ah.
And this is the book of John, and we also now have the book of Mark.
Oh, that's cool.
Easily readable, and the kids are loving it. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, and you
are a blessed congregation. We thank you for prayers. And if there's financial support, if that's what God leads you to, we thank you for that also.
Thank you.
Information.
Right.
We've got an insider.
Right.
It's all coordinated today.
Thank you.
Look at him go. You can always pass it to a loved one.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Doug. Thank you, Sue. I am always blessed when I hear from David.
Yes.
It's just really amazing to me. I shouldn't be amazed, but I am. You know? And I think part of it is, in just way of testimony, that
yes.
This is what I believe.
Amen.
I even have said at times, I'm stuck because I believe this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's really my testimony. My testimony coming to faith was through the Word of God.
Amen.
I can't say that this is not true. In my darkest moments, I cannot say that this is not true. This is not working. I'm just not talking about it. In my darkest moments, I cannot say that the Word of God is not true. And really, I think one of the things that we are encouraged by, even by David, is this understanding of sharing. Helping other people to get into the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, and I think sometimes we forget. Where did the basket
begin? I put it over there.
All right, so there's a basket. I just make sure people know where it is.
Yeah.
Okay, to support the Gideons. That, you know, sometimes we feel like we have a difficult time sharing the gospel and what to say to someone. Sometimes the biggest thing we can do is encourage them and challenge them to read the word.
Yes.
Because the word will not return to God.
That's right.
His word will not return.
And it is living and powerful.
Yes.
And powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Dividing asunder between soul and spirit, yes, and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And no creature is hidden in the sight. Praise God. And I haven't done this before, but I'm not here at Sanctuary anymore, but I want to start doing this. And that is, I was reminded this week that we never know where someone's at. We never know. And so, you know, you can come. You know, I often say that sometimes our biggest problem as believers is believing what we believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can, you know, my late wife's mom, who's now gone to be with the Lord, there was a period actually before my wife had passed away that it really wasn't clear whether she was a believer or not. But something changed a number of, actually in the period of time after my wife had gone to be with the Lord. And it's interesting because the way I used to think about it is prior to this, I'm glad I was never the judge, but I really didn't know. But I remember a conversation that I had with her one day, actually at my brother-in-law's house. And she was talking about how, and they were faithful to the Lutheran Church, and she was brought up in the Lutheran Church. But I remember we having this conversation, and she said, you know, going all my life, I've heard justification by faith. I've heard it. But somehow when the pastor talked about it today, it was like, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was 60-something years old at the time. But I got it. I understood it. I never understood before. And it's interesting, from that period of time, you can see there's a difference. Mm. You know, the light bulb went on. And so, you know, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this, but I want to share that's what we need. And if you've never had that, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference between information and illumination.
Come on, then.
Game changer.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Life changer.
Yes. Okay. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That, you know, I like putting it this way. When we really look at ourselves, when we really look at the human race, we know we're messed up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to look far. And I think that's somehow intensifying in our society in some way. And we sometimes don't like that, but that might not be a bad thing in a certain way. Because sometimes when the need is greater, the hunger is also greater.
Yes.
The need and the recognition to come to the solution is actually great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, mankind has all sorts of solutions. And that's what they are. They're mankind solutions. Mm-hmm. We, individually and corporately, we have our solutions. And they don't They can last for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they really do not have permanent work. In fact, I'm preaching at Balfe on Colossians. At the end of chapter 2 talks about how the keeping of the laws, keeping of certain traditions, have this show of humility, but they have no bearing on changing our being.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are really stuck. We don't realize how stuck we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm going to tie this in. I'm parting a little bit from where I was going to go with Genesis this morning. We leave it for next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to tie it in here. Because we're in Genesis 2, verse 9 to verse 17, which actually begins off with the description of the trees, and it ends with information about the trees. And I'm not using the word information. We're going to spend some time in verse 17 like we have spent some time in verse 9. But I guess I am just tying it today, just going to tie together here. Okay. See, our solutions, mankind's solutions, come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
That's where our solutions come from.
Yeah.
And they don't work.
That's right.
They do not work. And I guess I'm just going to go with this. I'm finding it's even different than expecting a few minutes ago. And what I want you to understand is one of the things we've spent 2 weeks on, well, actually we spent more than 2 weeks on it, we talked about it a month ago, is that for you to understand clearly that the tree of life was in the center in the midst of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not.
That's right.
Many translations miss it, not all of them. But the tree of life was clearly in the middle. The Hebrew is clear. The Septuagint is clear. The ESV is clear. Young's literal translation is clear. A few others, ISR is clear, that are clear. It is the tree of life that was in the middle. The other understanding there is that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not healthy for us. And that's putting it light. And it wasn't healthy for us because that was part of the nature of the tree. Not even because of additional information that we need. You know, if I say to a child, don't stick a screwdriver in an electrical outlet because you might get shocked, and if you're young enough, you might actually die. My saying it doesn't make it true. My saying it isn't for the sake of prohibiting the child, but I'm giving the child information that is reality.
Come on.
Now, maybe when they're an adult later on, they may become an electrician and they'll understand things that will enable them to deal with those things carefully. But the nature of electricity is dangerous.
Yes.
It's not healthy for us improperly harnessed. And we, I believe, often think somehow that God was holding out on us. And that we could handle the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We cannot handle the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
On our own.
That's right.
And that's our problem.
Yeah. We're down thinking.
Yes,
yeah.
We are stuck with it. We think we can solve our problem because we have eaten from that tree for 7,000 years.
Yeah.
Come on, then.
We're eating the lies.
And yes, and no matter how much we eat from it, it's never going to bring solution.
For more life.
More life.
More good for it.
So we need a solution.
Jesus.
We need a solution that is different than our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting because when you talk about 2020 vision, I talked about earlier for 2020, and then also this that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of believers don't understand this. We've talked about this a little bit. Sometimes I think Christians, believers, kind of muddle together spirit and soul. They think they're kind of the same thing, or one's the same. No, soul and the spirit are two different things.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's right.
They're two separate things.
Come on, man.
The soul is essentially where our mind and our emotions are.
That's right.
The spirit, Jesus talked about, is like the wind. You see it coming, you can see its effect, but there's a lot that we don't understand about it. When our first parents ate from the tree, their spirit died.
That's right.
Come on, man.
Like that.
Come on.
God told them. He gave them information. And the day that they would eat from that tree, they would die. And they did. Spiritually. And then also physically eventually died. Their spirit died. Their soul didn't die, but their spirit died. Sometimes we think our soul is the spirit, but it's different. See, our soul thinks that it can save itself. See, this is where the light bulb goes on. I'm thinking about my mother-in-law. And I'm just thankful for my family. That light bulb went on. She understood that she couldn't do it in her own soul. It had to be outside of herself. It had to be greater than herself. And as well, it had to be greater than any other human being.
Mm.
Now that's a conundrum. If it can't be yourself, and it can't be some other human being that's in the same boat, we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble. And so, we just celebrated Christmas. And one of the things that I sometimes, not so much this year, but a lot of time, I feel this way about Easter too, to tell you the truth. One of the things I don't like about the way we celebrate them is that the incarnation, the reality of the incarnation, is not just one day of the year. It's 365 days of the year. Okay? It's almost like we make it this one big day, but that event, we should almost have a manger scene in church. 365. If that's the case, we should have a picture of Jesus resurrected from the dead, or the empty tomb, or something every day. But the manger, that something was being born into this world that was different.
Come on now.
Utterly the same and yet utterly different. See, how could there be a solution that wasn't like us? And yet, how could there be a solution that was like us? You know, the amazing thing, this is another thing that some people do not understand, is that Jesus was fully the Son of Man. He was fully the Son of God.
Come on, man.
He was like us in every way, and yet without sin.
Amen.
And so the only perfect one was the only one that could pay the price for us. That's horrible.
Yes, really.
See, the message of the gospel, which we may hear, we should never really tire of this message.
Yeah.
Come on.
We really shouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
And I think when we're hearing it again, we hear some of it, and we catch some of it that maybe we haven't fully caught before.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that the only one that was without sin had to actually pay the price for all those that were full of sin. And it's horrible. That's unfair. You know, I need to say this because I need to hear this. But God is not fair. Just get it out of your mind. I need to get that out of my mind.
Come on,
because
then.
I think I want fair.
That's the human.
Amen. God is way beyond fair.
Come on, man.
Way beyond. And way beyond, see, we think way beyond kind of like this. Up. This is one of the things about man, because we didn't just fall, but we yielded to the serpent.
Come on, man.
Who exalted himself.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay? And so we think, like the serpent,
yes,
of exalted. We think that God is like us. He likes to be exalted. And so we want to be exalted. And so, the one that would save us would need to be exalted. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life,
amen,
as a ransom.
Come on,
for many. He did just the opposite. He humbled us. This before, Deb and I have talked about this, but you know, when you see in Revelation elders bowing down and worshiping Jesus, we will bow before him. I think part of it is that when you're around somebody that is genuinely humble, it makes you kind of,
yes, you can't help but become that.
And you want to exalt that person. Shines in that. Because you can't get humble enough. What happens when we're in the presence of God? We won't be able to get low enough.
Because he's so humble.
He is the most loving.
The most loving.
Because how else could he give his life,
amen,
for the unlovable?
Come on.
Huh.
Amen.
See, tell you a secret. It don't make sense. To this up here, it does not make sense. To this it does.
Yeah.
But to this it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that is actually the point of perception. That you understand it's not natural. But it is who he is. Romans says that scarcely for a righteous man would one die.
Come on, then.
And basically, that's how the way King James says it, paraphrase it. Maybe somebody would consider dying for Mother Teresa. Maybe somebody would consider dying for Abraham Lincoln. You know, maybe somebody would consider dying for an important American general or commanding officer. In other words, somebody who seems to be righteous and worthy, maybe it's worthwhile to give your life for that person. That's what Paul is saying. That maybe, possibly, somebody would give their life for somebody who's worth something. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were completely unworthy, while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us.
Amen.
The other thing that starts to happen at that point of understanding, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin, the wages of our problem, our own feasting on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, our unrighteousness is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Wages, something I earn, something I deserve, versus Paul said in a number of places, gifts are not like wages. You get a paycheck at work because you deserve it. But a true gift, but a true gift, there is no, if you will, justification of the gift. Let me give an example. And I'm going to speak mostly at the moment to Josh and Ron. Okay? Because they're soon to have a little one. You know, birthday presents are wonderful things. To some extent, they're expected. Children feel like they're going to get a gift with their birthday. Parents feel like they're supposed to get a gift. I'm not sure that that's the same as the understanding of gift. But someday, when your child's 3 or 5, and you just decide, or 7, to go and buy them something because you love them. Not because it's their birthday. Not because they got a good grade at school, or not because they played a game well, or because they did their chores, or whatever it is. But you just decide to give them a gift because you love them. That's a gift. There's no merit, there's no earning, there's no supposed to. Maybe sometimes the best time is maybe when they don't deserve it. Because that's what God did for us. We are so stuck in this thinking of things being deservable. God, that's not the way God is. Or else none of us would be here.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true. And so, it's a big hindrance for us because we still think somehow we're doing what we need to deserve. Well, I come on Saturday morning, or I go someplace on Sunday morning, or whatever it is, there's something we feel like we're doing that makes us to deserve it. Now, those things aren't bad things, but the reality is, and this is what I saw my mother-in-law. Going to the Lutheran church all those years was not worth it. And continuing to go was not worth it. But God had actually paid the price and she received it.
Amen.
You know, Paul says in Philippians about giving and receiving in terms of the church in Macedonia. No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving except you only.
Mm.
Giving and receiving.
Mm.
sometimes I think we have trouble giving because we're also, we have difficulty receiving. Mm. Sometimes we don't receive well because we don't give well. It's to be able to give, you also have to be able to receive. Because you have nothing unless you have received freely from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You have nothing but that. Nothing but that gift. And so Paul kind of concludes, I haven't concluded, but I'm going to in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that this word is close to you in your very hearts. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, a long prayer, no, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. There's power in that name.
Yes.
Always notice, it's one of the things I've been, just when I get to know somebody and I start talking to them, I watch someone. Do they call Jesus by name? Do they refer to him by name? Because there's a connection. And there's an understanding that there's something about that name.
Yeah.
That if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead.
Come on.
You know, that's the acid line.
Yeah.
That God has raised him from the dead. If you're ever witnessing or sharing with somebody, and you're not sure where they are, you ask them if they believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if they're not a believer, or they're not yet ready to become a believer, they will hedge on the resurrection.
They sure will. Real cool.
But if somebody says they believe in the resurrection, either they have or they are ready to turn their life over to Jesus.
And as you're speaking, I'm getting a picture of Revelation 5, where all of heaven is silent. Because there's no one worthy to open the scroll. Mm-hmm. That's how bad our situation is. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine all the praising of God constantly, 24/7, by the elders? Mm-hmm. But when they say, "Who can open the scroll?" Everyone's silent. And then Jesus appears on the scene, and everybody just busts out in praise. He's the only one who is worthy to open.
Amen.
He's the only one that can save us.
Amen.
His name means salvation, deliverance, and victory.
Amen.
Only through him.
Amen.
That you confess the name of Jesus. Amen. You acknowledge that name. Mm-hmm. You call out on that name and believe that he rose from the dead. You will be saved.
Amen.
And so, I want to end with a prayer. I'd like you to close your eyes with me. And I encourage you all to pray this prayer. Because I believe that we can always confess Jesus. And as long as you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you believe Jesus rose from the dead, and you can pray this with me. And I'm just going to pray it in parts, and you can pray with me. Jesus, thank you.
Jesus,
thank you that you died on the cross for me. I acknowledge you as Lord. I acknowledge I cannot save my own life. You are the only one that can save.
You are the only one that can save.
I believe you rose from the dead.
I believe you rose from the dead.
And that's proof that you're the only one that can save.
And that's proof
give my life to you.
I ask you to forgive my sin.
I ask you to forgive my sin.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
And live your life out through me.
And live your life out through me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I was going to say, if you prayed that for the first time today, please let somebody know. Mm-hmm. And then I thought to myself, you know what?
We don't know.
Well, listen, there's no reason for the rest of us not to tell somebody. Now, I don't think we tell people enough.
That's right.
Okay? But especially if you prayed that for the first time, or that light bulb is starting to go on in a new way, please share that with somebody.
Yes.
Right? So we're going to close. Refreshments afterwards.
Brendan
wine, okay. Some more snackies.
Yeah.
We always got food. So Jesus, again, we thank you for our time together today. Thank you again for Gideon's intervention. Yeah. And we do pray for their ministry. Mm-hmm. We pray for the dispersement of the lives. And we're expectant of many, many stories.
Mm-hmm.
Some that we've heard of, but of many, many more of people's lives being turned around because of their encounter with the Lord of God. Specifically for those that are distributed by the givings. Thank you for Doug and Sue. We do pray for a great blessing upon them for their businesses, for their family, and for their work with the beginning. You pray for the public schools that there would be even further opportunity in breaking down some of those spiritual walls,
yes,
that are so,
yes,
resistant to the reality, yes, of the Word of God. It may seem impossible to us, but God often to us. Bless each one. We do pray for traveling mercies for each one as they head home today. Keep each one safe on the road. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.